Welcome to the Scuffed Podcast. I'm Adam Bells in Georgia. With me is Greg Velasquez in Iowa. We talk about U.S. men's soccer. Our guest today is Luca Della Torre, the San Diego native and central midfielder for Heracles Almelo in the Dutch Eredivisie. Luca, welcome to the podcast and thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
So I'm going to ask some of my own questions and sprinkle in some questions from Scuffed listeners. But first off, how you feeling? What's the mood at the club right now? Got a draw over the weekend?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. It's not where we really want to be at this point in the season. But we've have, three games undefeated now. So yeah, we're kind of moving in the right direction now. Hopefully we can start picking up points in the coming months.
Now, Frank Wormuth, the coach at Heracles, was the DFB's, the German Federation's head of coaching courses for a decade. What's it like working under him, first of all? And then I have like sort of a second part to that question.
It's been really good for me, to be honest. I think that the main thing is kind of the level of intensity that he demands from players, where when I got here, I kind of knew I had to raise that part of my game. And also just defensive like discipline as well, where if you don't have that, then he's just not going to play you. So that really made me kind of improve that area of my game to a point now where I feel like I'm almost a completely different player than I was 2-3 years ago.
Huh. So how do you do that? How do you change? It's just a matter of willpower and awareness to
Yeah, I think you have to be willing to work hard and sacrifice, which I think I've always have been as a player. And then you just have to learn, you know, how to defend your role in defending as in the team, which was kind of the part that took a little bit longer, especially with the position change for me.
Yeah, let's talk about the position change. When did he decide to move you into the midfield? Was it pretty much right off the bat when you...
Yeah, so I remember the second day I got there, they signed me as kind of a wide player. And he told me that he sees me as a number 8, not as a winger.
The second day?
The second day, yeah. And for me, I really agreed with that. You know, I felt like I was kind of pushed out wide at Fulham because I was a little bit smaller and quicker and technical. And in England, they kind of like big midfielders that, you know, win a lot of headers and stuff. So I played wide at Heracles for the first half of the season around. And then in January, I switched to kind of more a number 8 role. And that's when my performances really started improving.
That would have been January 2021?
Beginning of last year. Yeah.
Okay. So you did consider yourself a midfielder before that, just sort of you were playing wing because that's where you fit in the Fulham system, I suppose.
Yeah, I think I was kind of being played out of position. My whole like youth national team career, I was always a number 8 kind of up until the under 20s with Tap. But yeah, it's definitely the role that's like most natural to me. So yeah, I enjoy it. It just feels like what I'm supposed to be doing.
Cool. Well, your play style with Heracles, is that how you say it? Is that the correct way to
that's
say
right,
it?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Heracles seems to be one that pushes the game forward. And this is a question from Coach Beard in DC, not the real Coach Beard, okay, for what it's worth. your play style seems to like push the game forward with a lot of progressive passes and dribbles. Is this a style you're naturally inclined to, or something else that you've specifically worked on under Wormuth and, the coaches at Heracles?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, part of just my like upbringing as a footballer. It's always play forward whenever you have the option to. Unless the guy you're passing to has no option to keep the ball, then you always play forward. Because that's always, you know, the best thing to do. Even if you go forward and then you come back, then there's space on the other side usually. So yeah, it's just always been kind of ingrained in me, I think. I remember at Fulham having like a Scottish coach in the reserves, Peter Grant, a Celtic legend. Yeah, he was always on about playing forward and playing forward and playing forward. So yeah, that's what I try to do whenever I get the ball.
You mentioned it briefly, but can you give us the Cliff's Notes version on your sort of your football upbringing, like who instilled in you a love for the game? And
okay, yeah. So my dad is Spanish and my mom is American. So growing up in San Diego, I didn't really have the option to play American sports. Like, my dad was just football from the beginning. And so I played, yeah, I think on two different teams, like 3 or 4 games a week, my whole childhood, right, growing up, up until I was 15. And then I had the option of going to residency in Florida or going to Fulham and being a part of the academy. And I felt like Fulham was the better option for me. So I went for that. And I spent 7 years at Fulham. I played my way through the academy into the first team, made appearances in the first team. And then I moved to Heracles and I've been here for 1.5 years now.
It did seem like you were at Fulham for a long time, at least to me as a fan. And I wonder, you know, if there were times in that time period where you had doubts about the path you were on. And could you reflect on that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So I started being a part of the first team setup when I was 18. I was kind of training every day with the first team, traveling to games on the bench sometimes. And then I went away to the under-20 World Cup in Korea, and I had a good World Cup. And I came back to Fulham. They offered me a new deal, a 3-year extension. That was a good contract. And I thought, yeah, you know, this is my chance. So I took that. And then the next 2 years, I was unlucky with injuries, to be fair. I probably missed about 8 months of football with 2 really bad muscle injuries, one to my hamstring and one to my quad. But still, even between those injuries, I was fit. I made appearances in the cup, quite a few appearances in the league. But also at a club like Fulham, they're a club that's always either spending money to get into the Premier League or spending money to stay. So when you're a young player and they're spending £100 million in the summer window, to be honest, you don't really have a chance. You know, you can do well in training. You can do really well in training, but it's really difficult. So I was pushing a lot during that period to go on loan, which Fulham wasn't interested in. You know, they kind of told me to my face that for the money we're paying you, you're a very good player. To replace you, we would have to pay someone more money. And so we're happy to keep you here as a squad player, you know, and be a part of training, you know, almost like just be a mannequin for us, which, yeah, you know, I wasn't happy about. But when you're a player and you have a contract, you don't really have a choice, you know. Like, if I refuse to train, they'll say, okay, you can go train with the under 18s for the rest of your contract. And then good luck finding a club when you come out of that, you know. So I did kind of my time there. I ran my contract out. And then, you know, still worked hard through it. I played games for the reserves when I could. I trained as hard as I could. And I think that, you know, put me in the position when I finally moved to Heracles, that I wasn't like, you know, I was still had belief in myself and my ability. So yeah, it wasn't an easy time, but I feel like became a pretty strong person for it.
You soldiered through it.
Yeah, exactly. Made the most of a tough situation.
Now, fans of the U.S. national team love to argue about the merits of one league versus another. Okay. I'm sure you see some of this on the internet. But you've made it, like you mentioned, you've made appearances in the Championship, EFL Cup, a lot of appearances with the Premier League reserves. And to me, the Eredivisie is often really pleasing to the eye. How do you think about the league in comparison to the other competitions you've played in, you know, as someone who plays in it every weekend? Is it like, how does it compare to the Championship, for instance? Yeah.
So I think it's true that in Holland, they have this idea of total football, where clubs want to play good football, even if they will lose games, you know, through taking more risks. And I would say in the Championship, especially, you have more teams that are willing just to play direct and put everything they can into the box, you know, throw-ins, goal kicks, doesn't matter, just put it in the box and hope for the best. Yeah. So you don't get that as much here. But I also feel like that you know, most teams kind of play the same nowadays. Like there's teams that press high and there's teams that sit back and counter. And you have teams that do those things in the Eredivisie and you have teams that do those things in the championship. So yeah, I think the football is kind of the same everywhere you go, to be honest.
Huh. Okay. David in Indianapolis asks, for those on the Discord, his name is More Buildings and Food. He said, he asks, as a midfielder, does your offensive mindset change when you're playing with a back three versus a back four? Do you play more aggressively when you have an extra center back behind you?
That's a good question. It really depends on the team you're playing against and the players you're playing with. When we played a back three this season, it's usually to play against another team that's using a back three so that we can go one for one in pressing. In that case, personally, I think I'm more comfortable playing with a back four just because that's usually what we do is a 4-4-2. But yeah, I think that tactics aren't the most important thing in football at all. It's, you know, more about players just kind of taking responsibility and finding solutions on the pitch, for themselves.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit more. That's a fascinating thing to say. It's less about tactics. It's more about players taking individual responsibility. Is that how you've always thought about it, or is that like a new insight for you?
Yeah, I think that when I'm playing in a game, so to a certain extent, you always have to do what the manager wants you to do. You know, yeah. If he wants you to stand here and you go stand over there, then he's going to sub you off, right? But if you're focused on doing exactly the tactical job all the time, then I think your own game can suffer. So for me, the most important thing is kind of just being free in my head and trusting the pictures I see and like the instincts I have when I'm on the pitch, because I'm confident in that and I have belief that I'll, you know, I can find solutions. So yeah, for me, that's the most important thing, is to be in that mindset and then always, you know, use the tactics that the coach is giving, because that way the team plays better, you know, and you're on the same page with everyone, right? But yeah, that's the way I think about it. Yeah.
How, so you said your game has completely changed over the last 2-3 years. You said that right at the beginning of the conversation. Was there a moment where that sort of clicked for you? And if so, could you describe that moment? I mean, I'm interested in anything you have to say on the topic, honestly, but I'm just trying to find some avenues for that.
Okay. Yeah. So I think when I was playing wide, I always felt like I was playing out of position, right? I'm not really a winger. Like, I don't want to run one-on-one at a guy all day and try to cross, you know, yeah. I want to be on the ball all the time, right? Like, I feel like, you know, the team plays better if I have the most touches on the ball, right? That's just like the belief I have, you know, because I feel like I know where the ball needs to go and I can put it there. So when you play wide, you don't get as many touches, right? You're expected to have fewer touches, but more impact, in terms of, you know, shots, crosses, creating chances. So I like to be more of, I guess, a connector, to be on the ball a lot and, you know, to always show quality, right? That it doesn't matter if it's like a really simple play. It can look like a really simple play to someone, you know, just receiving the ball and passing it to an open teammate, but is like the pass to the correct foot? Is it with the right weight? You know, did you do it in 2 touches or 3 touches? Like, I think all that stuff is really important. And like, you know, taking pride in that too, as a midfielder, right? You want to be like a 99% player where like every action you have is the right thing and it's done correctly, you know, which is impossible, right? But it's something,
right?
That, yeah. You want to strive for.
Let's see. As you may know, there is a 3-game World Cup qualifying window coming up. How do you feel about the, you know, the likelihood that you'll be involved?
Yeah, I really hope that I will be, you know, I feel like I'm in good form. I feel like I'm playing well. I know that I'm fit and, you know, some other players that play in the MLS, for example, aren't in season. So I think I have good chances, but yeah, we'll see.
I guess we'll find out later this week, huh?
Yeah.
Alex in Chicago asks, and I'll caveat this by saying you know you have talked about some of the things, some of the feedback you've gotten, but he wants to know, what kinds of feedback have you gotten from Greg and the national team coaching staff to improve your game and potentially get called into future camps, including this one? You mentioned some stuff about transition, I think, in an interview after late last year. Maybe you could rehash that and talk about any other feedback you've gotten.
Yeah, that was. So I think what I really like about Greg's like management style is that he's always very honest with me about the way he sees me in the group and where I stand. And also I feel like I can be honest with him, which is really important because that's not always the case with managers. So like, for example, even like the conversation about the Gold Cup in the summer, right? We spoke like, you know, maybe two or three times over the phone and we understood each other, right? Where I felt like this was the best thing for my career and he respected that. So that's really good. In terms of like things to improve, I don't get so much of that from the national team staff. Because I think, yeah, when you're there, it's more about getting the most out of you, not necessarily, helping you improve as a player. So, yeah.
There was some conversation about like he didn't think, I'm not trying to like create controversy where there is none, but he thought maybe transition moments weren't your strength, but you had a different view. Like you feel like you're pretty good in transition. And
yeah, that was his opinion about his reasoning for not calling me up to the last camp, which, yeah, you know, as a player, you just accept, right? Yeah. In my view, yeah, I'm good in transition. In his view, other players are better, and yeah, that's the way it is. There's nothing really you can do as a player, but, you know, accept it and, yeah, work harder and be better. So, yeah.
There's definitely some subjectivity in assessments of soccer players, I guess.
Yeah.
You would probably agree with that. Jared in Eau Claire, Wisconsin asks, you got called in by Dave Sarakin, back in 2018. What were your impressions of that camp and how have things changed in the locker room from the coach on the field since then?
Yeah, that's a good question. Sarakin was kind of a weird time, to be honest. Also, like for me, because I think I just turned 20 that year and I'd been a part of Fulham's first team, but I was kind of injured the first half of the season. And I think I maybe made like 6 appearances in the league and then we got promoted. And I got called up and made my debut. And to be honest, like I didn't really feel like I deserved it. I was kind of like looking around like, you know, damn, like, you know, I didn't even play this season for the first team and I'm here. So it was kind of a weird time, to be honest. But yeah, it was definitely a big deal making my debut, you know, when I was 20, even if it was, you know, just a friendly kind of in a transitional period. As far as like the difference in the setups go, I think that, yeah, the setup now is really like top notch at US soccer. In terms of like the staff and the support staff and everything, it's, you know, the best I've ever seen. It's really, really good.
Cool. Did you watch the, I assume you did, but did you watch the win over Mexico and the draw against Jamaica?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
What did you think? You know, people, we've spent a lot of time on this podcast talking about it and everybody talks about it, but like, what do you think went wrong against Jamaica? Why couldn't we put together a cohesive performance there?
Yeah, I don't know. It's always difficult when you're watching from outside to like diagnose something like that.
Yeah.
I think that CONCACAF is difficult. I've gone through under 17 World Cup qualifying and under 20 World Cup qualifying. So obviously it's not the same as the first team, but kind of a similar idea. And like the feeling I had in those games was that as America, you're always going to be the better team and it's kind of on you to like bring the quality to the game. And it's difficult sometimes to not like play down to the level of the opponent, especially if they're making the game hard for you, you know? So yeah, I know it's hard, right? Yeah.
Okay. You had one goal and four assists in that U20 World Cup, most assists in the tournament. Was there, I know you mentioned that you got a new contract from Fulham right after that tournament, but was there any transfer loan interests from other clubs right after that? I mean, we're going back into the history books again, but.
Yeah, there was. I think from the Eredivisie there was, as well as New England Revolution with Brad Friedel, because he took that job there. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it just was never something that Fulham was interested in, sending young players out on loan. And you see it a lot with a lot of players. They really don't use that to give their players experience.
Tell us about where you live. Is it, do you like it there?
Yeah, Almelo. Yeah. Yeah. So I lived in London for 7 years and then I moved here in the middle of the pandemic, and this is quite small compared to London. So when I first came here, I was a bit surprised, but I really like it now. You know, my place is really nice. And the city is a little bit quiet. There isn't like a ton going on. But I'm just kind of in my football bubble, so it doesn't really make a difference to me.
Is it like the canals part of Holland, or are we talking just farmland around nearby area?
I don't want to say anything that's going to get me in trouble, but yeah, it's like, it's not near the big cities. So, you know, Amsterdam's about an hour and a half away, and Utrecht and Rotterdam are far away as well. So, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Max in Golden, Colorado asks, what food do you miss most from San Diego?
California burritos. Every time I go back, it's my first thing. I go and get a California burrito. And just Mexican food in general. They don't, yeah. There's no Mexican food in Europe.
No burritos in Almelo.
No. Unfortunately.
What is it? A lot of like fries with mayonnaise and stuff like that?
Yeah, to be honest, like English food, Dutch food, and German food is just all really bad. You know, it's not nice. But yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing they've all survived for so long. Jackie Choi in San Francisco asks, many fans noticed that right before you were called up to the USMNT for World Cup qualifiers, you posted that video of highlights, and there were like a lot of it was ball progression. Do clubs, US soccer, actually use social media for scouting, or was this just a coincidence? And how do you use social media in your career as a soccer player?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah. So yeah, like I like to repost things that I see about myself that are positive online, whether that's like an article or clips. Because I feel like I play for a smaller club in the Netherlands and not a lot of people are aware, you know, if I play well or if I don't play well. I feel like it's the right thing to do, to do a little bit of self-promotion. And also like, I like the way I play football, you know, I like my style and I like to show it. So if I play really well, then yeah, I like to post clips. As far as that being before when the roster was announced, that was a coincidence. That was probably my best game this season against RKC at home. And it was just right, I think, the day before the roster dropped. So the next morning I posted the video and it kind of blew up actually. I think it had like 100,000 views. So that was surprising, but yeah, it's nice.
We're out here, man. We're out here.
Yeah.
how do you think about social media in general, you know, as an athlete? Do you read a lot of the stuff out there? Do you deliberately not read it? What's your approach?
I'll look for things to repost after I play well. But other than that, I avoid it. I'm not really interested in, you know, I understand that people enjoy arguing about football and things like that online. But I don't think that reading that really gives me any benefit in my career. So I just avoid it. Yeah.
Yeah. Something seems wise. Anything else you would like to talk about? Anything you wish I had asked you?
No, I think that was good. Yeah. No more questions.
Well, special shout out to Daniel Smith. I'm going to give him an executive producer credit on this episode. What else? Let me think. Okay. One very specific thing is I notice your ball security is really good, you know, even though you're not like a giant person. And I wonder how much ball security in your view is a technical matter. How much of it is a physical matter? Is it a mystery? Like where the two meet? Can you talk about that?
I think it's like 99% awareness of knowing where pressure is coming from. Yeah, sure. If you're, you know, physically have 10 kgs on the guy you're going up against, then maybe in a 50-50, you have an advantage. But if you don't know where he's coming from, then you're going to lose the ball every time. So I think for me, yeah, like I'm a little bit lighter, but I'm quicker and smarter. So I have to use that to win duels in the middle, right? So yeah, for me, it's all about scanning and knowing what's going on around you. And that's really what football is, right? It's seeing pictures and finding solutions. You know, the best picture and the best solution. So yeah, I really don't think that football is about being a better athlete than the guy you're going up against. It's just about being smarter. I mean, you look at the best midfielders in the world. They don't rely on their athleticism, really. You know, they rely on their, you know, being smarter and quicker.
When I see, like when I was watching the highlights from the game on Saturday, there were several times where you're receiving the ball between the lines on the half turn. And I guess I wonder, you know, how much of that is just like how you've played as a soccer player your whole life, or how much of it is, you know, something you've specifically worked on recently, that the efficiency with which you work on the half turn, you know, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's something I picked up playing as a winger at Fulham, because I'd always come inside, and then you're in those situations where you receive a line breaking pass and you need to turn in one touch and accelerate. And I realized pretty quickly, like that was something that I could do that other players couldn't. So when I was playing kind of more in like that role that's always between lines, I got quite good at that. And that's something I can still use in the position I play today, because, you know, sometimes I'm between lines and sometimes I'm not. But yeah, it's definitely like a skill that I have that I can use.
Do you think about how valuable that might be for the national team, you know, without having to, you know, toot your own horn too much? Do you imagine using that ability to help us break down a low block in CONCACAF?
Yeah, I think that's a skill that is good anywhere, right? Yeah, I think that, like when I played for the national team, the couple games, when I've come on, they've been quite open games because the other team's been chasing them I've been subbed on. So those are, you know, there's a lot of space on the pitch. So it's quite easy for me in those games to kind of turn and run with the ball. So, yeah, I think that I kind of showed that quality in those appearances.
Notably against Jamaica, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, man. Well, good luck to you. Thanks for being here for this interview.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you.